Today is Tuesday. It's May 28th, 2019. This is a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Sue Seely, S-E-E-L-Y, and her daughter, Sandra Boomgart, B-A-U-M-G-A-R-T. My name is Tom Martin. Good morning, Sue and Sandy. How are you today?
Doing well.
Good.
Good. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today about some river running in 1952, and I'll set the stage here. This is a Glen Canyon River trip that started on the 4th of July and arrived at Lee's Ferry on the 10th of July. The dedication of the Norm Neville's plaque was the 11th of July, and then Frank Wright and Jim Riggs with Mexican Hat Expeditions departed from Lee's Ferry on the 13th of July. At Phantom Ranch, Sue hikes in and goes with the party out to Lake Mead. So, Sue, what year were you born?
I was born in December of 1929.
Okay. Where were you born?
Cleveland, Ohio.
What were your parents doing there?
They were living there. That's where my father had his job, the Warner and Swayze Company.
What did he do?
He was sort of a mechanical engineer, but not by degree, but his great uncle was one of the founders of the company.
Oh, fun. Okay. And his name was Warner?
Yes, Warner Seely.
Okay. W-A-R-N-E-R?
Correct.
Okay. And did you grow up then in Cleveland?
I did.
And did you spend a lot of time doing outdoor activities? Did you ride horses or learn how to run a canoe or swim and things like that?
I had been to summer camp up in the Adirondacks, and I'd learned all sports. I loved the outdoors. I loved sports, and I did canoeing. I did swimming, but I was never a strong swimmer, but I loved the water.
Okay.
And I loved to experience new things.
Like what?
Well, like a river raft.
Okay.
Well, I had graduated from college, and this was my graduation gift from my father.
Oh, my gosh. What did you graduate in college?
I was a physical therapist, so I have a Bachelor of Science degree in education.
Okay. And PT. Very good. And so this, I'm just going to explore this a little bit. Do you have any idea why your father might have thought, well, my daughter will like this?
I would think that might have been his thinking, but I don't know. He arranged the whole thing.
Okay.
When I went out there, I thought I was just going to do the first part because that's when he was available to go, but he had to return to Cleveland. But he found out that there was a way I could go on another section of it, and made arrangements for that, and so I did that.
Okay. How old were you on that summer of 1952?
22 years old.
Okay. And how did you get from Cleveland out to Glen Canyon?
I think we went out on the Southern Pacific to Flagstaff.
Okay.
And then picked up people there, and somewhere got to Hyde, Utah, where we got on the boat.
So Flagstaff, Cleveland to Flagstaff, that might have been the Santa Fe Railroad on the...
Yes, I believe it was called the Santa Fe Limited or something.
On the
like
Southwest that. Chief, something like that?
Could be. Oh, I don't remember the train ride out much.
Okay, and then in Flagstaff, so it's you, your dad. Do you remember anything about the luggage that you brought? How much gear did you have?
Not really.
The
outfit provided most, you know, the sleeping bag and the everything. So we just had our clothing that we had to do and any photography stuff to bring
okay.
with you or things like that.
All right.
It was bare essentials.
Yeah. So not much gear.
No. No.
And had you been west before?
A few years earlier, 1949, my sister, my older sister, and I were on a train trip out west, and we had been to Grand Canyon, but I just looked down at the river from the South Rim at that point. Then we went on to San Francisco and came all the way back from the Northern Pacific, so through Yellowstone. Okay. But
wow. Did you have
I hadn't really experienced the West at all.
Okay. Did you have any thoughts about the West versus Cleveland, you know, versus Ohio and the East with trees and, you know, fall colors and things?
I just tried to absorb it all. I just loved the experience.
Okay. Nice. Do you remember traveling from Flagstaff to Hite, Utah? Do you remember that drive at all?
Not really.
It would have gone through
Monument. I didn't take it all in, but my memory, I'm 89 years old now, and my memory doesn't stand me in very good.
Well, let's see if we can spark it up a little bit. You would have driven through a place called Monument Valley.
Oh, that I do remember, absolutely.
What do you remember about it? How so?
How vast it was, and I felt so small. The whole area was just, I felt like I was on another planet. It was beautiful.
Wow.
And hot. And there was an Indian powwow with Indians. They didn't have many cars back then. They were horse-drawn wagons. And they all came together with their families in their open wagons and all in their costumes and everything. I bought some turquoise jewelry because that was my birthstone.
Fun.
It was just quite a wonderful experience.
So the there would have been a lot of dirt road driving.
Yes.
And maybe dusty.
Yep.
All right. But finally, eventually, you would have worked your way to the river, the Colorado
Absolutely.
River, at height, and there would have been a little ferry that crossed the river there.
It certainly was. It was like a barge with an old Ford car motor running it, with a rope going across the river.
Okay. And do you remember, I'm going to get into the details here, do you remember the man who was running it at all?
He was a character, like sort of like Colonel Sanders.
Okay. All right. That would have been Art Green.
Sorry,
Art Chafin. I
don't remember his name, but he was quite a character.
Okay. And then the rest of the river crew, the rest of the people who were going to go through Glen Canyon with you would have arrived or had already maybe been there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the other people at all on that trip?
Was Don Smith on that section, or did he join later?
He was not. He would have joined later.
Yeah, I thought so. No.
Okay. So,
I guess the Tad and Mary Jane Nichols.
That's right. And your dad.
Dad was there,
yep,
too.
You and your dad. And there was a fellow named Randy Henderson. People knew him as Randall Henderson, and he was the editor of Desert Magazine.
Oh, okay.
All right. And then there was a fellow with a mustache, and he went by the name of Fish Eyes. And his name was Frank Masland. And he was an older gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And he was with another older gentleman named Joe Eisenman, E-I-S-A-M-A-N. And that was Doc Joe Eisenman. He was a physician.
Okay.
He was a good friend of Maslin's, and they would have been in a small kayak, in a two-person kayak.
Okay.
And then Frank Wright with the cowboy hat and the long pants and the long shirts, and then Bob Rigg there were two.
That name rings a bell.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the group. It was.
Yeah, it was small, and we just had, I think there were four boats, and all, or you know, no motors, nothing. There was one oarsman to three passengers, I think, something like that.
So I think, let's see, how would it have gone? Because Frank, Fish Eyes and Eisenman shared that boat. I know Frank would have rowed a boat, and Bob would have rowed a boat. And then you and your dad and Ted and Mary Jane and Randy would have piled in. I think that was a line.
I don't remember who was. I spent most of my time in the water or laying on my stomach in the bow.
Okay.
Whatever.
What was the water, warm or cold?
Warm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Was it muddy or was it clear?
muddy.
Yeah? Oh, gosh, this was early July. It would have been monsoon season. Did it rain at all?
Not that I recall. Okay. Nope, I don't recall any rain.
Okay. And you all launched on the 4th of July. Were there any firecrackers?
No, that's
okay.
What I recall.
Okay. There were some firecrackers that happened on the 11th of July, but that was a little while down the road yet. So Glen Canyon, the river kind of starts out kind of open and wide, but
it's very, very peaceful.
But then it necked in and got kind of cliffy and really scenic. What do you recall about that Glen Canyon journey?
All the little tributaries that came in. Was that the Little Colorado?
Well, that'll be way downstream below Lee's Ferry.
That's further down.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But the
San Juan. No.
The San Juan would have come in, and the Escalante,
yeah.
And then just a lot of small little side canyons. A
lot of side canyons, and we explored quite a few of them.
Do you remember about that? That would have required maybe a little climbing here and there.
Planning? Oh, yeah. Well, it would be a day trip. We would.
I'm sorry, a little climbing, a little scrambling over rocks and things.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. And, I had no trouble climbing back in those days.
Okay. Any mud up in the side canyons, you have to wade through or
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And all those beautiful waterfalls and the different striations on the rocks and everything. It's just wonderful.
Okay.
You're in a different world. A wonderful world.
Tell me more about that.
I don't know. Just exploring, seeing areas Mother Nature made for you. Nobody, there's so few people that could see what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just felt so special. It was wonderful.
Nice. There was a place called Music Temple.
I remember that name.
And there was some inscriptions in there from John Wesley Powell and Dellenbaugh, 1870,
mm-hmm.
1871, 72 in there. And there was a place called Cathedral in the Desert.
I don't remember that one.
All right.
That would be.
Then on the 8th of July, a long 6-mile walk brought you to Rainbow Bridge.
I climbed Rainbow Bridge all the way to the top.
Did you?
I did.
Well, was it scary up there?
It was scary, but lots of fun.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. There were a whole bunch of us that went up. I wasn't the only one, of course.
Okay, so a bunch of your team your trip went up there.
But my father did not.
Okay, well, the smart guy stayed down there. But I assume that Tad, maybe, and Mary Jane certainly wouldn't want to go up there.
Probably.
Maybe Bob.
I remember him waving. I could see him down there, and he could see me as a tiny little speck up there.
Oh, gosh. Huh. There was a register there, a big book, underneath the foot of the bridge, out of the weather there.
My name should be in it if I signed it.
It is. It's there.
It is?
It is.
No kidding.
Yep. Yep, you and your dad and everybody else, all signed in there.
Even just being there, it doesn't say you climbed it, though. Okay.
I'd have to look because it may have said that you guys climbed to the top. I emailed that to Sandy, so we'll check on that. And then from there, oftentimes downstream of there was a stop in a place called Labyrinth Canyon. Which was, you could reach out your hands and touch both sides, and it went
mm-hmm.
up.
Oh, some of them were really narrow.
And again, just multicolored, really.
Beautiful colors on the rocks.
Gosh.
And every hour the light changes and the color changes, and you get a whole new vistas.
Okay.
Around every bend, you just didn't know what you were going to see. It was just so exciting.
Wow. And then, what do you remember about camping and the camp setup?
Well, you pick a spot,
mm-hmm.
give you an air mattress, you blow it up.
Okay.
Give you a sheet to put over you, didn't need a blanket. I don't know about pillows, I don't remember pillows even. I think I just rolled up a towel, I don't
uh-huh,
remember.
Uh-huh,
But they provided all the food and everything. So it was what I would call a luxury experience.
Nice. Nice. So eventually, the trip arrived at Lee's Ferry on the 10th of July.
Okay.
And there would have been a bunch of people there. Mm-hmm. It got really crowded the next day on July 11th with the dedication of a plaque, a big 3 foot by 4 foot roughly brass plaque on a rock.
I remember them unveiling something. I thought maybe it was a statue, but I guess you were right. It was the plaque.
Okay. And this was right near the bridge. There was a big giant steel bridge that went across the river.
Right.
Okay.
There wasn't any dam there back then.
Right. You guys would have gone right through what would become the location for the Glen Canyon Dam.
Yep.
But it was only a legislative...
And that Lake Powell didn't exist because the dam hadn't been built.
Right. That's right. And so there were 100 to 200 people at that event on the 11th of July. And a bunch of people were kind of in the shade by the bridge because it was hot that day. There was a party that evening over at a place called Cliff Dwellers. Do you remember that at all? Staying
nope.
over there?
No. Nope.
Okay. You guys then headed out on the... So originally, your father and you had planned to end the trip there at Lee's
yes.
Ferry. How
yes.
how did it come to pass that changed?
Well, I was having such a wonderful time, and Dad knew that. But he had to go back to Cleveland for his job.
Okay.
Couldn't take any more time off. So he made some kind of arrangements with the powers that be that even though I couldn't take the middle part of the part going up to the base of Grand Canyon, they did have room for me on the last segment of the trip.
Okay. So that would have been hiking in at Lee's Ferry and going out to Lake Mead.
I hiked. I got a ride with another couple. I think it was, what's that other couple's name you just mentioned?
I'm sorry, so that would have been hiking in at Phantom Ranch.
Not
Lee's Ferry.
We hadn't gotten there yet. We hadn't left Ferry, so we had to go through Lee's Ferry first.
Okay.
And then to the South Rim, and I hiked down from the South Rim, took 6.5 hours, walking down with other people in the group. I had an old metal canteen that had green canvas around it.
Okay.
And the water was nice and cold when I left, but boy, if you took a drink of it 4 hours later, it was really pretty bad tasting, pretty metallic. It was pretty awful.
So from Lee's Ferry, you might have been there some days. Do you remember where you stayed there?
Stayed in some little motel type thing, a strip motel that very bare. Air conditioning consisted of a box in the window with a fan and water trickling through a mesh of some kind.
Uh-huh.
So that was the extent of the air conditioning. But we could take a shower, a bath, and I think it was just a shower. It was a pretty meager, you know, nothing fancy.
Okay. All right.
But to us, it was a real bed because we had been sleeping out on the sandbars at night, so that was pretty neat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it would have been deluxe.
Absolutely, it didn't bother me at all.
I'm just gonna try to press you for any other memories you have of that dedication day for the plaque. It would have been the 11th of July, 1952.
Well, I hate to disappoint you because I really didn't understand who Nevels was,
uh-huh.
and I did understand who Powell was.
Okay.
It didn't have much meaning for me, but I remember the ceremony, and I remember the actual unveiling. So that's an extent of my wistful youth at the time. I wasn't really taking too much attention.
And there was the master of ceremonies there was a kind of taller, very, very chiseled faced man who would run for Senate and win later that year. His name was Barry Goldwater.
Well, that name didn't mean anything to me back then, but okay. It sure would now.
Okay, you bet. You bet.
But unfortunately, since I didn't understand politics very much back then, I didn't pay too much attention.
Okay. No worries.
That's youth for you.
Well, yeah, I totally understand. Okay, so we're trying to put this together. It may have been then Tad and Mary Jane that would have driven you to the South Rim?
I'm quite sure it was.
Okay. And did you stop at Cameron? Maybe along the way would have been a bridge across the Little Colorado River, and there was a trading post. It was...
Probably. Okay. Absolutely.
And then the South Rim, there were some hotels right up there along the rim, El Tovar and the Bright Angel. I think you might have stayed in one of the hotels there at the rim.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And then, El Tovar sounds rings a bell.
Okay.
Can you hear the speakerphone? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No worries. And then hiking down with a canteen, the water got hotter and hotter. This would have been the 13th.
But the rock changes, you know. You look at that as you're walking down, you see the formation of the earth on the way down, basically. Because the striations and the different... There were people that were walking with me that knew more geology than I did.
Okay.
It was quite a learning experience.
Nice.
Geologically.
And this was, I'm not sure of the date yet here. I think this might have been the 19th of July. So, again, it would have been hot. Might have been...
Left early, about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Ah.
And the mules, the pack mules, passed us on the way down.
Okay.
Oh, and they passed us on the way back up empty.
Okay, they were going fast.
Taking the garbage out or whatever.
Uh-huh, right. And... When you got to Phantom Ranch, what do you remember about that?
Yeah, swimming pool.
Yes.
Nice, cool water. It was delightful. And you know, we spent the night there and met the other people that had come down on the... They joined us the next day, I think.
Okay. There's
It was a luxury trip going to, you know, staying down there. It was beautiful.
So...
That was beautifully.
You would have recognized Frank Wright because he had gone with you through Glen Canyon.
Yes.
And also on that trip was Frank Maslin, Fish Eyes.
That name doesn't ring a bell, but I might.
Okay. His because he and Frank Wright both shared a first name. Maslin went by Fish Eyes.
Okay.
By the name, the technique of laying across the deck on the front of the boat in the rapids and facing with your head forward, laying on your tummy there on the boats going into the rapids. And that's called fish eyeing, and he got the name of that. Other people on the trip were Mary Adamic, Adamic, but mm-hmm. Wait a minute, now she went to Phantom only, so she hiked out. There were people leaving.
People left that segment of the trip.
Right. And
I had space.
Rosalind Johnson.
That name rings a bell. A little bit anyway.
Okay. And Joe Dudziak, Dudziak.
Uh-huh.
And Molly Maley, Maley.
Okay.
Bruce Hume, Hume, doctor.
No.
Okay. And then Don Smith.
Ah, he was one of the oarsmen.
Okay.
And he was handsome, tall, blonde.
Okay.
I was 22 years old, just out of school.
Uh-huh.
He was real nice.
Oh,
he
fun.
Was real nice. I got in his boat a couple times when I wasn't in the motorboat.
Well, let's talk about boats for a minute. This is kind of important.
Okay.
On this trip, there were the standard... Norm Neville's designed cataract boats that were big and wide, very stable, but real flat across the front.
Right.
Pointy in the back. And then there was one big 21-foot cabin cruiser. Chris-Craft, yeah.
Right.
With an inboard. And
and
Jim Rigg was driving that boat.
Okay. Yes.
What do you remember about all of that?
I remember riding in the boat quite a bit, the Chris-Craft, but then every advantage of riding in the other metal boats. Or were they metal or wooden?
They were wooden, right.
Wooden, yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
You okay?
This cough has come back.
Oh. Do you have a cough drop?
I do.
I'll get you.
Oh. I just have some water. I'm okay.
Great. Great.
Go ahead.
No worries.
This is more talking than I've done in the last 4 days.
Thank you so much for doing this. We were talking about the boats and the wooden rowboats.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you calling cataract boats?
Yeah, they had a name for that specific design of boat. It was called a cataract boat or a sad iron, S-A-D-I-R-O-N, because of its shape, looking like an
iron. They had the benches were all airtight compartments in the bow and the stern.
Yeah, yeah, and there were little latches that held the hatches on the on the decks there.
And they had a rope going around the bows.
Okay.
On the gunnels.
And again, the water would have been warm then, and you would have gone swimming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No? Okay.
Nice and warm.
What was it like to ride in that Chris-Craft?
That was luxury.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. I wished I had been on the other boats all the time, but that's okay. I was just happy to be there.
Okay. And then, did you ride in the Chris-Craft through the rapid lava falls?
I had to. You couldn't portage that Chris-Craft.
No, you couldn't. And so that would have made you, I think, were there any other women with you in that Chris-Craft?
No, sir.
Okay.
I was it.
So you might have been the third, the second?
No, they told me I was the second.
Okay, so first would have been Evie Mull in May.
His wife.
John.
The boatman that went through and his wife were the first, I was told.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back and double check that because Evie was on that trip.
I don't know, maybe
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah,
his wife.
Yeah,
maybe it was his girlfriend.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Well, but anyway, you were within the top five. Women
would
take a motorboat through Lava Falls, of course, there.
That was exciting.
And what do you remember about that?
Just real excitement.
Okay.
Thrilling. It was thrilling.
At Lava
Falls. Is that where I met the woman in a raft who was traveling Georgia?
Georgia White.
Was that where she was?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Well.
Yep. And she was there with a gentleman named Elgin Pierce.
Okay.
I think that's P-I-E-R-C-E.
Mm.
And what do you remember about Georgia?
She was quite a pioneer. A real entrepreneur in her field. I mean, she wasn't afraid of anything.
Okay.
I think I just spoke with her a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know her. She was really something to go down there in a two-man raft. And quite marvelous.
Yeah. At Lava Falls, the ore boats and Georgie's rubber boat were all portaged or lined down the side of the rapid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yep. I think I helped carry stuff.
Okay. There would have been a lot of carrying of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Down across the rocks to the bottom of the rapid there?
Well, we floated them when we could.
Okay.
Depended upon the topography of the rocks.
Okay. So with some ropes going to people on the shore, and
yeah.
And the boats were kind of worked down over the rocks then?
Right.
That's kind of hot, hard, dangerous work. Did anybody get hurt doing that?
Not that I remember.
Oh, good.
Those men knew what they were doing.
Okay. Yeah, they were pretty good practiced at it by then.
They were excellent.
Nice. Also on that trip, you passed Deer Creek Falls with big waterfall coming right down there next to the river. What else do you remember about that trip from Phantom down to Lake Mead?
Oh, sleeping out on the sandbars. Sleeping out on the sandbars.
Okay.
And the fact that the narrower the canyon was, the earlier darkness came.
Ah.
The sunset came early, like 4:30, because the sun stopped being down in the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the depth of the canyon and the rocks above you shielded all your light, so you had very, very early dinners and early bedtimes because of the darkness.
Okay. Before y'all went to bed, do you remember singing songs or playing any games or charades or anything like that?
I don't recall any of those, but there could have been, you know.
Okay. All right. And anything else about that journey? Collegiality of people, any other funny stories you remember?
Everybody seemed to get along with the diversity of the age group. I thought that was pretty neat.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was there because they wanted to be there, and they were just as excited as I was to be there, no matter what their age was.
So fun.
It was an expedition. It just wasn't a floating trip.
Okay. The only other thing I was going to ask about was at the end of the trip, the reservoir behind Hoover Dam backs water into the western end of Grand Canyon, and that's Lake Mead, is that reservoir.
Right.
The party was joined by yet another motorboat, two guys, one with a camera, with I think a scenic special, or I'm not sure if I got the name right, but a 4x5 camera, maybe with a flash on it as well. He was a gentleman named Bill Belknap. And the motorboat driver was a fellow named Jimmy Jordan. And Bill was with the Boulder City newspaper. And so he was taking pictures left, right, and center of everybody.
Well, Boulder City was where we actually disembarked the boats.
Okay. What do you remember about that?
Civilization.
Civilization at last.
Got people talking, building.
Uh-huh.
Indoor plumbing.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts about the wilderness you'd gone through and the civilization you'd arrived in?
The contrast.
Yeah.
Instead of living in a bathing suit on water all day, day in and day out, you could put clothes on.
Okay.
In fact, we were so close to Las Vegas that a bunch of us hired a taxi cab and took a cab over to Las Vegas just to say we had been there.
Fun.
And the guy played the nickel slots or something like that.
Okay. There would have been even more contrast.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's not like it is today, of course, but it was still gambling and stuff. And I had never been exposed to gambling or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
More excitement, more new adventures.
Okay. And then from there, how did you get home? The train would have gone to Kingman and Needles, so it wouldn't have been too far.
I think that's where I got on, Kingman.
That okay.
Rings out. Daddy arranged my... when he had to go back, he made all the arrangements for my return
okay.
to Cleveland.
Great, for your forward
travel. Oh, I just
travel.
Remember some, I don't even remember tickets or anything. I don't know how it happened. But
okay.
I always just went where they told me to go.
Great, great. Thinking about the river trip, the bathroom arrangements, women upriver, men downriver, is that kind of how that worked?
That's the way it worked.
Okay, and cooking campfires right on the beach?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And Frank Wright, the guy with the cowboy?
Long.
yeah, long sleeves and long pants.
Strict Mormon.
Yeah, he had a reputation of being a good cook.
He was. Everything tasted wonderful.
Hmm, nice. And water fights, did you all do any of that?
Not that much.
Okay.
Because you're concentrating on the river. It's not just a fun thing. You got to go according to that river, and you have to respect that river. And those oarsmen wouldn't let you just goof around.
Right. And
you know?
Do you remember your life jackets?
You know, come to think of it, I don't.
Okay. They weren't in much use at the time, though. I don't
recall a life jacket now that you mention it.
Okay.
No, I don't, because when I lay down, I was just strictly on my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. No, I do not remember life jackets.
All right.
I bet you there was one on the Chris Craft, though.
There might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Chris Craft in the rapids. Did a lot of water come into the boats? Well, there was only one boat, one motorboat.
One boat, one boat, we just one. I don't really remember. I know, I'm sure I got splashed because every time we went through a rapids, we would get wet. I loved it.
You know, it's only 67 years ago, so you're doing so well.
is that all?
to remember this is just absolutely fascinating.
I'm doing the best I can.
You're just doing brilliant. Is there anything else about that journey that you would like to recount or reflect on?
Well, I just wish I had better memories of what happened because it was a very, very special time of my life, and I won't ever forget it. And I was very privileged to be able to have done it. That's for sure.
Nice. Nice.
My father was very forethoughting. He had a lot of forethought on that, which I didn't really appreciate at the time. I don't think as much as I do now. So.
Well, you're a very lucky woman to have had a chance to boat.
You better believe it. Absolutely.
You know, to boat there, but not only to boat there, but boat there with your father.
Yep, yep.
I just think that's a very special thing to have happen. And I think he'd be very proud of you. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Well, with that, Sandy, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. It's been wonderful that I'm just thrilled that you are able to, take the time and have such a deep interest in this. And it's given me a new perspective on history, I must say, that has broadened my horizons in that regard. You never know what you do in your life that may be historical someday.
Oh, that's fun.
Cool. Not that I'm doing anything like going down that river. But
I never felt that I was being historical ever.
But you never know is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So live every day best you can.
I was just there having a good time and loving every minute of it. I wasn't being historical.
But Mom was amazing and still is. So
for my 90th birthday, I'm going to take a balloon ride out in Arizona.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah, and I'm flying out to Phoenix in September for a balloon ride. So that's going to be my 90th.
Nice.
I'm not going to go skydiving or any of those fancy things like President Bush did, right?
No, but that balloon riding when you're 90, that sounds just absolutely wonderful.
That's something I always wanted to do, so
nice.
I'm going to do it.
Nice.
Good Lord willing.
Absolutely. Well,
good Lord willing. Okay.
With that,
I sure appreciate your taking all this time with me.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think I deserve it, but you're just wonderful the way you sought me out, and I feel very, very special. But I don't think I should be. But thank you for taking all this time.
And you're very kind. Hold the line for a minute. This will conclude Grand Canyon Oral History interview with Sue Seely, S-E-E-L-Y, and her daughter, Sandra Baumgart, B-A-U-M-G-A-R-T. My name is Tom Martin. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. And Sue, thank you so very, very much.